They did not rule on the Trump case. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News, but the Supreme Court did decide several other cases this morning. One involves gun owners' rights.
This is a law that's on the books that bans people who are under a domestic violence order from having access to their gun.
Fox's Shannon Bream outside the court says justices in an 8-1 decision rejected a challenge to that law.
When they've been found by a court to pose a credible threat to the physical safety of another, that individual may be temporarily disarmed consistent with the Second Amendment. The court is saying essentially there can be times in which Second Amendment rights can be infringed.
The justices still have more than a dozen other cases left to decide, including the Trump appeal and the 2020 election-related federal indictment. The former president claims he should be immune from prosecution for acts taken while he was in office. There is a hearing now in the other Trump case brought by the same special counsel.
U.S. District Court Judge Eileen Cannon in Fort Pierce, Florida, is hearing arguments from lawyers for former President Donald Trump to dismiss charges of mishandling classified information, claiming that Special Prosecutor Jack Smith was illegally appointed to the job. Smith was hired by U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland and not through an act of Congress.
Fox's Evan Brown in New York City. Charges have been dropped against more than 30 pro-Palestinian protesters arrested in April at Columbia University.
The anti-Israel protesters barricaded the campus building and covered security cameras inside. Police eventually entered the hall and arrested protesters on trespassing charges. Prosecutors say there is insufficient evidence to prove the defendants caused damage or injured anybody. Because of a lack of security camera footage and the fact that protesters wore face masks.
Fox's Nate Foy. There was another slight decline in the housing market last month. Previously owned home sales fell a fraction of a percent from April. The houses that are selling are going for record prices. The National Association for Realtors reports the median home price in June, $419,000. America's listening to Fox News.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
An important message about your timeshare from Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group.
If you receive an unsolicited phone call or mail piece to discuss selling, renting, or especially canceling your timeshare, don't fall for it. Contact your timeshare resort or Wesley Financial Group for assistance, and I'll send you our timeshare exit information kit free with the straight facts about timeshare cancellation.
Call 800-887-1010. 800-887-1010.
For years now, people have been switching their wireless service to Pure Talk to save money. Just $20 a month, you get unlimited talk and text and tons of data. But more people are switching to Pure Talk, a veteran-owned company, to support the America's Warrior Partnership and their mission to help prevent veteran suicide. To make the switch, dial #250, say the keyword save now, and you'll be connected to Pure Talk's U.S. customer service team. Make the switch, same service, save money, help vets, #250, keywords.
Broadcasting Americanism from the York Heating and Air Conditioning and ACYuma.com studios. 560 KBLU.
From the News 11 Information Desk, I'm Miriam Ordóñez. A room connected to a home in Yuma caught fire Thursday afternoon. The fire happened on Lowell Drive near 3rd Avenue. The fire destroyed the room, and the front of the house was also damaged by the flames. The Yuma Fire Department says firefighters worked from the alley and street to put the blaze out, which was fully controlled within minutes. The cause of the fire remains under investigation. And the Brawley City Council voted unanimously to adopt its budget for the next fiscal year. The citywide budget has more than $64 million in expenses, funded by almost $60 million in expected revenue. The Capital Improvement Program budget includes 37 projects for water, wastewater, road, and pedestrian improvements, as well as heavy equipment purchases. Catch us on the TV side on News 11 every weekday at 5, 6, and 10 p.m. for your latest local news, weather, and sports.
Going up to 112 today, that's not where we are supposed to be for this time of year. Fortunately, we're staying off record territory, but you get it. It's hot. There are some excessive heat warnings to our east. We'll see sunshine. Tonight, partly cloudy. Overnight low, also a little warm. We fall back to 81. Now for Saturday, mostly sunny. Up to 107. Heat index as high as 110. That's right. We're factoring in a little humidity here and maybe a stray shower or thunderstorm early. Sunday, slight chance for shower or thunderstorm early. Sunny, a few clouds, and 109. Jeff Eno at the Weather Channel.
Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Welcome to Money Talk with Yuma Investment Group's Tom Rush, founder, wealth advisor, and George Davis Sr. Wealth Advisor.
Good morning, Yuma. Money Talk AM 560 KBLU. Derek Eggerberg, branch manager with Guild Mortgage in studio. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning.
So, beautiful day. It's going to be hot. It's going to be humid, like uncomfortably hot. So, drink a lot of water.
I kind of like it. You know, it's that time of year.
But you kind of like it because you sit inside an enclosed box with air conditioning.
I do
all
have
day
air
long.
Conditioning.
You've got two windows between you and the outside. You don't even know if it's hot or cold out there.
That works out.
Half the time, you don't even look at the door if anybody's walking up either. So lots of stuff going on. And, you know, it's interesting. You listen to some of these national commercials and they're talking about appreciation and what the market's doing. And it's interesting because I know people operate out of fear, and fear is they're trying to stay safe and they're trying not to make a bad decision. And half the time, the people that they're listening to that are promoting that fear are the people that haven't done what they're trying to do, or they've played small, so they're not going to help encourage you and support you to be a little bit bigger. Now, if I said average sales price of a home 20 years ago here in Arizona, statewide, what do you think the average sales price of a home was 20 years ago?
$100,000.
Okay. And what do you think the average sales price is here in the state of Arizona today?
$250,000.
Okay. You're close. It was $140,000. 20 years ago, and now it's just approaching 340.
I'm not even close.
Well, I mean, close. You didn't say a million. But so when you say, wait a minute, you know, maybe now's not a good time to buy, 20 years ago, weren't prices, didn't they feel like they were high for most people? Didn't it feel like it's a stretch? And look, I'm not trying to tell anybody to stretch beyond what they can budget, but it's interesting that in the last 20 years, they've more than doubled, right?
Yeah.
Now, you understand, and I don't want to be boring, and it's not all about the math, but you know what the rule of 72 is, right?
Yes.
Okay. Describe that for our audience.
I think you divide the interest rate by 72 or something. Is it?
And, yeah, and exactly.
How many years your money will double.
Great. So yeah. if you said in, let's just say, a 2% return on investment divided by 72, how much is that?
I don't know.
37 and a half years, okay. Right? So a 3%, now you're talking about, oh, geez, that's just about 22, 23 years, right?
Yeah, but do 10%, you get...
But I'm just saying, in real estate, you're not shooting for these 10 and 12%
but you're getting
rates
it?
In some times, yes.
But
look at that over that 20-year run. Yeah. That's about a 3.5% rate of return.
But we have some years it's 1%, 2%, then you hit a 20, 30%, and then you never know. It's volatile.
You never know, and it is volatile.
Yeah.
But the person who bought a home 20 years ago and just lived their life, they've more than doubled the amount of what that home is worth.
Right.
That's life-changing for a lot of people.
I remember my grandfather in Mount Sterling, Illinois. We'd go visit him, and he would talk about his mortgage. When he bought that house in Mount Sterling, Illinois, he had a mortgage of $5,000. He thought that was all the money in the world. He doesn't know why he did it.
It was back then.
Yeah, he didn't know why he did that, but $5,000 just seemed like such an anchor over him. He couldn't wait to pay it off, which he did. He paid off the mortgage in the long run. And it seemed so silly, like $5,000, why did you buy the whole block?
Yeah.
You know, everybody's. But it goes up over time, even though at times we have adjustments or whatever that goes on that's bad in the market, it comes back, it goes up.
And we hate the word inflation, but we love the word appreciation. And the reason I bring that up is I met with a young couple yesterday, and they're very fearful that this is the time to buy. And I can't quite tell which one of the two is more scared. But, you know, when you're having the conversation, they're fully committed that this is the wrong time to buy because they think prices are abnormally high.
Well,
and so their parent, one of their parents, came in and had a conversation with them. So you start asking the questions, okay, mom, dad, when did you buy your last house? And the mom says, well, you know, we bought our first home about 25 years ago. I'm like, great. What'd you pay for it? And she told me a number and, you know, hey, do you still own the home? And she says, yeah, they still live in it. Now, didn't play Monopoly like we've talked about, but they still live in it. And I said, what do you think your home is worth? Now, what's interesting is she had no idea.
Hmm.
No idea.
It didn't matter.
Well, it didn't matter because, and you and I know, you don't get to spend, you shouldn't spend the equity in your home.
Huh.
You know, it's not like that's the checking account, but you can use it for things like that.
Yeah.
But when we sat down and said, okay, here's what you bought it for, and here's what it's worth. Don't take my word for it. Let's go on the internet. Let's look and see what things are selling for in the area. And she was flabbergasted at what the value of her home was worth. And then I said, okay, now let's take your mental state on this. What do you think your parents, back to your grandparents, what do you think they paid for their first house?
Oh.
And she goes, and she rattled it off. Well, this is why I think my house is so expensive, because my dad paid this much for a house, you know, 20 years when we were kids. I'm like, okay, but what is that house worth today? I said, give me the address. And she goes, well, it's not here in town. I'm like, oh, I can find anything. Trust me.
Yeah.
And, you know, look it up. And similar to what you said, what do you think your grandfather's house is yours that he paid $5,000 for?
Worth today?
Yeah.
$250,000.
Okay. So from $5,000 to $250,000, similar number for her, it was like $8,500. And now the thing, get ready for this.
Yeah.
I think she said 3.5 acres. I want to say it was 3 net. But the thing's worth like $600,000. And you think, wait a minute, you didn't do anything other than just live. You're not risking the farm, so to speak. You're literally just buying a home that you're going to live in and making a good common sense decision that, you know, can you afford the roof over your head? And then you move on. So back to this young couple, and you're more the psychological guy. So, Russ, why are so many people scared to make a life decision that is just basic housing?
Well, same as my grandfather. They look at the big mortgage for him, and they look at the commitment, and they you know, all of that. I just think it's out some a lot of people's comfort zone.
Now, you say that, and is it their comfort zone or is it their mentors and family's comfort zone?
Because, well, that's true. And, I mean, it's their comfort zone. But where do they get that comfort zone?
Yeah,
where did,
like,
that come from?
I don't care whether you watch CNN or Fox. If you watch that show all day long, you're getting a version, right?
Right.
And that programs you with a certain level of knowledge based on a certain subject. And these young kids, their family has kind of programmed them, no, you got to wait till prices come back to where we bought. Do you really believe, you, Russ Clark, do you really believe that prices are going to go back to the level they were in the year 2000?
No.
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 I mean, you would have to destroy everything, including minimum wage.
Right.
Including, you know, the subsidies on certain items that we all buy. You could not get the prices to go back to that without completely destroying the financial market in the U.S. And I hope that doesn't happen. Now, you know, I mean, truthfully.
Right.
Now, when you say this young couple, if they bought a home today, do you believe, based on how transient we have all become in the United States, do you believe they're going to be in the home 30 years like your grandfather was?
No. I mean, not the average.
Not the
average.
I mean,
it could happen, but it's not
the
average family. The average family is going to move at every 3 or 4 years or so. And
so realistically, if we know that it's every 5 years, I'm like, okay, guys, if you rent for the next 5 years, where would you rent? And they told me an apartment complex, and we figured out what the number is. And okay, so what are you going to spend over 5 years in rent if you don't buy a house? And we came up with that number. And I said, what would you, let's take this example home. Was it slightly more to own the home? Yes.
Yes.
Would there be some additional maintenance? Because we always talk about, nobody ever budgets maintenance. Would there be some additional maintenance? Yes. So would it feel like there's money coming out of their pocket more so if they own versus rent? Yes. But at the end of the day, who's getting the appreciation if you rent?
Well,
the owner of the property.
Owner, yeah.
Okay.
And over time, and I know you can't work this into the numbers sometime, but just know that it exists, that if you have a mortgage of $1,500 a month and it's a fixed 30-year, in 10 years it's going to be $1,500 a month. And particularly if you're getting pay raises, if you're moving up and the business is getting better and all that, the things that you expect to have happen, that $1,500 a month is going to be a much smaller percentage of your check than it was the day you bought it.
Because things become cheaper over time as you get raises or you retire other debt.
And if you buy at a interest rate that's higher than you're comfortable with, and you can still get in, and maybe in 5 years the rate does change. You now, can refinance.
That's interesting when you say that, because you said the right word, a rate that you're not comfortable with.
Correct.
Right? If you told anybody who bought, say, in the early 80s that, oh my gosh, interest rates are in the sevens, they would be smiling ear to ear and partying like it's 1999. Would they not?
Yep.
Okay. So what's the difference? Interestingly enough, we see home prices are higher and interest rates are lower than they were then. But proportionally, the amount of revenue that it takes you to make your house payment of your personal family budget is still about the same. It really is. And so when we as lenders look at things and you say, okay, you really shouldn't use more than about a third of your income for your home, and you really should never use more than about 43 to 45% of your income for house, car, credit cards, student loans, those kinds of things. So you still have more than half of your money left for taxes, for Social Security, for Medicare, for estate tax, plus food, gas, the whole nine yards. Now, interestingly enough, though, what do I typically do with every young family? A budget.
Yeah.
One-page budget. Let's just talk about the things.
What's important to them? What can they afford? What's worthwhile to them?
Now, if I said they're looking at about a $220,000 home, right?
Yeah.
Just a basic bread and butter, you know, let's get you into something that's safe, secure housing.
Right.
Great. That payment, the way they're going to do the purchase, is about $1,650. Let's round it to $1,700 just in case taxes and insurance are higher, because, again, they're looking in an area. $1,700 a month. Now, might sound high for a house payment, especially for somebody as old as you, Russ. You know, what was your first house payment?
I don't remember, but it was $400 or so,
$500. I can tell you my first one was $661 a month. I spent $80 grand on it, and that was a stretch.
We paid $45,000 for that first house, and it was a small, like 1,000 square feet, mm-hmm. You know, just the two of us, and it was owner financed, and we did well with it. You know, it was a good deal.
So when you go back and you say, okay, let's talk about budgets. You guys think, and they clearly qualify. They make good money. You're looking at a payment that's about $1,700. Let's look at the rest of the budget. Really. Let's go look. Now, what do you think they're spending on ancillary items? And again, no judgment whatsoever for everybody listening. I don't care what you spend the money on as long as you have the money coming in.
Okay.
Like physical fitness. What do you think they're spending on health and fitness between...
You mean like going to the gym?
Gym, trainer.
The average?
No, what this couple is.
Oh, a lot of them spend very little, but even less than $100.
With a trainer.
Oh, with a trainer. $600.
$725 a month.
Okay.
Okay, great. But isn't that almost half the house payment? Now... What do they spend on their cars in your estimation?
$1,000.
Oh, that's low.
A month.
About $1,300 for the two cars. So between the two cars.
I'm not their financial advisor.
No, but you know, now you just say, okay, look.
I thought $1,000 was high.
Well, for a car, it could be, but not
No, I thought for two cars, it would be.
No.
Okay.
Well, I told you I had a guy that had a car payment over $2,000.
I know.
Now, different story, though. Let's talk about apps. Let's talk about, you know, random spending. So go through the bank statements and look at all the Netflix, the Hulu, the iTunes, the this, the that. In one bank statement, I added up just about $200 worth of electronic app things for TV and music. I'm not talking about your Instacart app, you pay the $9.99 a month so they can deliver your groceries. I'm talking about just electronic apps.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's another couple hundred. And then you say, hey, let's look at out to eat.
Did they realize they had all these as you're going along?
I think everybody realizes it. It's just a matter of do you realize the scope when you're putting it all on one piece of paper? Because everybody, you know, you sit on the couch and you turn on Hulu. Clearly, you know you have it, right? Yeah. You know, you pull up your phone and you clearly know you have iTunes on your phone. And, oh, let me go download a book, you know, or whatever those apps are. Right. How many apps do you pay for?
Maybe four.
See, you just said maybe, and you got to think about it.
I'm not sure. I'd have to really think about it and go through.
So you add up the apps, you add up the stopping for convenience food. I don't care. You know, if you make the money, you make the money.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's convenience coffee. I don't care if it's convenient fast food.
People be surprised how much they spend on that.
That's the interesting thing is you look and you say, okay, well, you stopped at a convenience store for what appears to be not gasoline,
yeah,
only because the amount is less than I would assume you put in a tank of gas. So you stop for probably a breakfast sandwich and a cup of coffee or something. But then you go out to eat for lunch, right? And then you went out to eat for dinner. Okay, so on certain days, I can see three and four different out spendings. Well, if you're concerned about the house, you add all of this stuff up. Here's the funny thing. Remember I just told you proportionally people are still using about the same amount of their income?
Mm-hmm.
Russ, if I said they were looking at a $1,700 house payment and they're concerned and their family's concerned, what portion of their income do you believe that is? This is going to be fun.
Not for the house payment?
Mm-hmm. What percentage of their gross income would they be spending on a $1,700 a month house payment?
40%.
Nope.
High?
Nearly 17%.
That's it.
Between the two of them, they gross about...
They do 10, well.
They do well. They gross about 10 grand a month. That's what I'm saying. I don't care that you have the car payments, that you have the apps, that you do all the things. You want to go spend $1,000 a month on physical fitness? Great job.
Yeah.
You know, great.
Yeah.
But you're concerned about $1,700 a month for a house, and somewhere you think renting might be the safer thing, yet look at all the money that is being spent on all these other things. And so that's where it's interesting that when we laid out the budget, do you know who was the most shocked?
The husband. No, the mom?
Mom. She's and the light bulb that came on, she's trying to convince her baby to be safe and not risk anything because mom feels $1,700 is expensive for a house.
And they're spending.
Mom had no idea they made $10,000 a month. And by the way, for everybody's benefit, yes, I do always have to say, you know, husband, wife, is it okay if your mom is here? Because she's not a party to the transaction and they gave permission. But mom had no idea.
And she's
convincing them not to buy. And as soon as the budget light bulb went off, guess who is the biggest champion to go buy an even bigger home?
Are you
mom?
Kidding?
Oh, no, because now mom...
How did mom flip?
Because I mean, now mom knows her baby doll is going
to
be okay.
But does mom want him to stop spending money on the other things that she may see as frivolous, but they don't?
She had the grimace like I was waiting for her to take her chancla off and throw it across the room,
yeah,
at one of the two.
Yeah.
But it remained cordial. But I think... She lives much more conservatively on a much lower income than the two. But it's so interesting that you could see immediately where the kids' fear came from is mom pounding and pounding and pounding of, you know, you got to do this. And then the realization is, oh, my gosh, they have a lot of money and they're renting. Why would you do that? It's just interesting how... Watching this play out, look, I'm just a dumb mortgage guy. I'm, you know, truthfully, I'm just call me, I'm a loan donkey. I'm a jackass that does mortgages, and that's pretty much it. But it's interesting watching how people rationalize and don't rationalize money. It's tactical. It's not emotional, but oh my gosh, the emotions that run around in the office when you're talking to people like that. It's so interesting that the person who came in the crotchetiest and the most like closed off was mom. And guess who's the biggest promoter of we're going to go drive around and we're going to look at a couple other neighborhoods because maybe you guys could be in a slightly better neighborhood? Mom.
I guess that's surprised, but I'm okay. That's good.
So,
but they never say anything about the cars. Like, look, why are you spending so much money on cars?
No.
Is it okay?
It is one of those things where I think the realization is everybody has those things. And most people feel like they're abnormally running the gauntlet. And, you know, look, when you drive around town, how many really expensive car payments do you see?
A lot.
A lot. You know, and you could also look around town and go, man, look at all these free and clear cars. There's a lot of people who are driving conservatively.
When I could, I used to drive, I mean, we used to own two Suburbans. You know, fairly new ones and
license Tahoes plate
and
his
stuff.
And hers or what?
No, we didn't do that. But no, it was necessary and we did it. And it was, you know, we had a big business doing really well and all that kind of stuff. Now I drive a 25-year-old Suzuki.
I still hear the theme song to the lady on the bicycle in The Wizard of Oz when you're riding the e-bike.
Yeah, I drive the e-bike and all that stuff.
So we've got more to talk about and a couple other fun stories. This is Money Talk AM 560.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
Happy Friday, everyone. 8:27 on a gorgeous morning, and Russ finally has some good music in studio. Hopefully you enjoyed that 3.5 seconds of the emotional roller coaster.
I can't drive 55.
I know. Well,
you knew it?
Come on.
Okay,
come on.
Good for you.
Speaking of that, I'm happy that you played that. What does everybody do in the summer?
Drive fast.
Okay, yeah. Summer driving season.
They got places to go.
We know gas prices typically go up in the summer. Everybody goes on vacation.
It's election year. They went down.
Well, they're going to go down for a little bit, but they're going to go back up. It's summertime.
Correct.
It's summertime. Come on. But it's this vacation. And let's talk about budgeting for vacations. Look, again, I don't care if you want to go spend $10,000 on your vacation.
Go on a cruise.
Please don't leave it on a credit card and let it sit there for a year and pay 29% interest. Credit cards are a vehicle that you get to use as part of your financial plan. It's not a loan to go do frivolous things that it's going to cost you a lot of money over time. Like if I said, hey, Russ, you and your new bride are going to take a $10,000 vacation. And you wanted to do that vacation,
awesome.
Right?
Yeah.
Cool. But you don't have the cash. You're going to stick it on a credit card that's 29.9% interest, and it's going to take you minimum 3 years to pay that bad chicken off. So I'm pretty good at math, 30 plus 30 plus 30. You're going to spend potentially up to 90% more for that. So you might spend $18,000 to $19,000 on that vacation.
Helen and I would not do it. We wouldn't do it.
Why not?
Because it's not worth paying that premium.
Thank you.
In the long run for something I'm going to enjoy today and then scrape and save for 3 years to pay it back off. I'm going to go for a week or two and then spend 3 years making...
You know my two words, tactical and emotional.
Yeah.
Why do so many people like absolutely max out their credit cards for the week-long emotionally
Because I
satisfying...
deserve a good vacation. I deserve a good time. I deserve it. And Yeah, I guess it's all emotional.
It is very emotional.
I hear that all the time.
Look, I don't care about the vacation. No. If you want to take the vacation, take the vacation. Yeah. However, if you can't pay the credit card off when the bill comes due, maybe you shouldn't stay at the high-end five-star hotel.
No.
Maybe you should stay at a three-star. Or maybe you stay at the one that offers the free continental breakfast, so you save the breakfast money as well and go do the thing.
And if your budget only gets you to Welton, then enjoy your stay in Welton.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, work within your budget.
But that tacticalness of a credit card, yeah, it has become so gosh darn easy to put everything you want on a credit card.
Well, it's become dangerous.
And I'm going to say it from a couple of vantage points. Number one, credit cards, find one that's cash back, that's points, that's airline miles. I mean, for a while, it may still be there. I know General Motors had a credit card that your points accrued towards cash, towards a down payment. You got the Discover cards and the Chase cards that are up to 2%, sometimes 3% cash back. You look at the American Airlines app that gives you free airline miles. How do you think I get my kids back and forth from college airfare now?
Free?
Everything I do in my, I mean, I'm telling you, everything I can do goes on my credit card to amass the miles, but it's paid off like cash at the end of the month. So when I tell you my water bill is paid on the credit card, my electric bill, my auto insurances, my house insurances, think of all the things, your groceries, your gas, you need a new pair of shoes, you need a new pair of glasses, whatever it is. Did I say anything that is not normal for a month? No, those are just living expenses.
Yeah.
So if you run all your living expenses through the credit card and then pay it off at the end of the month, then you get all the points and bonuses. Now, I do see people that get $500 to $1,000 cash back every year. Cool. Wouldn't that be additional free money that you can use for your vacation?
Yeah.
Okay. Or in my case,
if you save it,
that's how my kids travel back and forth for college. In other people's cases, I know a successful businessman here that runs a large amount of money through his credit cards, and that's how he and his family take cruises every year. The cruises are completely paid for because of how he's structured his spending on his credit card. And unfortunately, where do those bonuses that are paid to certain people come from? So if that guy gets, you know, points and or cash back, or I get free airline tickets, where do those tickets come from? It's not the goodwill of the company.
Well, no, but they work that into the interest rates and everything else.
It comes from the interest of the people who run balances.
Right.
And so that's the reason, again.
They make an income.
If you're going to go do the vacation, please structure it in a way that you can pay it off in cash.
Right.
You know, and that's the biggest thing when we come into summer. You know, we talked about this way back for Christmas and gifting and making sure it's best in class, not the most expensive thing. You know, you don't have to have the most expensive vacation. Make it best in class. You could rent instead of having that beachfront property, which would be super nice, maybe you do one block off or two blocks off, and it's a little bit less expensive, and you enjoy a nice walk to the beach every day. Or maybe instead of going out to eat every night, you packed a bunch of food and took it to the hotel, and you got one of the hotels that has the kitchenette in it, and you could actually cook a few meals there and save money. Don't know what those things are. Depends on where you want to go. But don't put $5,000 to $10,000 on credit cards for vacation. And Russ,
not a good thing.
Well, I see it. And I would turn around and say, how many people come and do their bulk maintenance on their cars with you just before they go on vacation?
If they're smart.
If they're smart.
Well, yeah.
So it's
a little problem,
either,
little problems, change the oil, get that stuff roadworthy, get it checked out, tires in good shape, your brakes are going to last, you know, all that stuff.
Now let's plan for the, I didn't plan for this, what if. How many people break down on a vacation?
Many.
And then now you have the bill from the vacation and you have the bill.
Well, and we've had a lot of, I mean, it's sad. I mean, I have cars towed in that overheated and destroyed an engine, a transmission breaks, or something stupid happens. That happens all the time.
So that's what I'm talking about with credit cards, is just use it as a tactical vehicle. It's not the, hey, I can spend willy-nilly and just throw caution to the wind. Look, if you want to stay at the Disneyland Hotel and go spend a week in Disneyland, great. That's one of my favorite places. And yet, just please make sure you budget for it, that maybe that's a 1 or 2 or 3 year savings plan to get right there. You know, it doesn't have to be that.
How many people do that, really save up for those things?
Not as many as I would like, but, you know, some of the banks, remember the old Christmas savings clubs?
Yes.
Where you'd put so much in each and every month.
I'd forgotten about those, but yeah, they even do those anymore?
I don't know. But that's what you and I should be doing. You could have 15 accounts. I mean, you're on your phone. You're probably looking through your
Mint
apps.
I'm looking for my old house. I just downloaded Zillow.
Okay.
I'm looking for the old house I grew up as a kid that I know we paid $19,900 for, because now I'm curious as to what it's
okay,
what that house is worth today, but I can't find it. I know the address, but
can I throw something out there that I think most listeners need to pay attention to?
What's
you
up?
Downloaded that at a charge or free?
Free.
Okay. If the app is free, you are the product.
What do you mean?
So if that app is free for you, your data is the product, your eyeballs for marketing is the product, you, Russ Clark, are the product for that app.
So they're looking at tendencies
yep.
and where you're doing.
And your information gets sold and
correct.
Shoved out to 15 other people. And
so you're saying I should let you look it up?
No, well, I would be happy to do that for you as well. I'm just saying anytime you're using these free apps, just understand the word free for a for-profit company, they're getting paid somehow. So if it's a free app, you are the product. And I don't care if it's Instagram. I don't care if it's Facebook. I don't care if it's your Mint app. I don't care if it's Zillow. You know, any of these free apps, you and I are the product when you're using it and your data is for sale.
Yeah.
So now you're going to say you probably put in a username with an email.
Probably.
So now that you're looking in that area, could that username's data be sold to somebody who wants to pay for it within that geographical region?
Sure.
Cool. What city is that in?
Camden, Delaware.
Okay. I would not be surprised if you personally get some solicitations through whatever means you put in there, a cell phone and or an email.
From Camden.
Anyone in Camden, New Jersey. Because you've
Delaware.
Shown, or Delaware, sorry.
Yeah, where Joe Biden's from.
Were you neighbors?
No, but I met him.
Hmm. But there's the data, and the data is for sale. And now you start talking about the same thing, all these free programs, like I get free airline miles. They're not really free. They're coming from someone. They're coming from the person who carries a balance. Now, ask me if I love credit cards.
Do you love them?
I love credit cards.
Okay.
Okay.
Because?
Because they're a tool.
Yes.
And so I had a customer come in, and they need a brand new air conditioner on a house that they're going to turn around, and really over the next 6 months to a year, they're going to rehab it and sell it. It was an old family home.
Okay.
Now, need a new air conditioner right now. They do need to get new flooring. They're actually fairly handy. They're probably going to install the tile flooring themselves. They're going to do some painting, but it's really probably a year process. Now, what did they come in for to see me? A loan.
Right? Yeah, they need money.
Great. So they asked all the right questions. Should we do a HELOC? Should we do a home equity loan? Should we do a cash out refinance? How do we get the money to fix up our old family home, et cetera, et cetera? Now, do they have a good interest rate on their first mortgage? The answer
yes,
is yes.
Of course, it's old. Everything's good compared to today.
Could they take out a line of credit, and most lines of credit are, you know, approaching 10% and
higher?
Yeah,
it's going to be high, of course. But
plus, and let's just be brutally honest, when you're doing a mortgage, you have to have an appraisal. There's fees for the appraisal. There's fees for us as lenders. There's fees for the title company. There's Yuma County, all of the things that you run into. Now, here's my question.
Mm-hmm.
If you knew you could go get a 0% interest rate credit card that would be a $10,000 or $15,000 limit and have 12 to 18 months no interest as long as it's paid off by the due date. And if it's not paid off, then you have interest back to day one. Would you like to use the bank's money for free?
Sure. And I've done that.
That's why I love credit cards is most people have the credit wherewithal to do it. And if you don't, then let's work for 30 days to fix the credit. But they went out and said, no, go do this. Go get these two credit cards. Get the 0%. Put the, you know, put the AC unit on one. Go to the hardware store and buy the tile and the paint and the things. Guess what they're doing? They're doing all the rehab to the house right now with no interest. And it's going to sit there for up to 18 months. They got 18 months, no interest. And the money is going to sit there and just sit there until they sell the home. Cool, you might have some minimum payments and stuff like that. Yes, there's some carrying cost. But where does the minimum payment go? Not to interest. It's going to principal.
Of course.
Okay, so all of the money that you all are putting in is strictly going to pay down your debt as the minimum payment. And you know you've got a year and a half to get this home completely redone, rehabbed, sold.
Right.
For no cost other than some physical labor on you guys. You didn't have to see me as a lender. You didn't have to get an appraisal. You didn't have to have anything recording at Yuma County. None of that, as long as you remember, price that in for the sale of the home because you still have to pay that off within the next year and a half. You know how happy they are that I talked them out of a loan?
They should be. If they're not, they should be very happy.
And for everybody's benefit, this just handed to me. So Russ Clark just gave me the address
of the house I grew up in. I mean, my parents bought that in 1970.
Okay.
For $19,900.
Did they even have color cameras back then?
Yes.
Okay, just make sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so they bought it for how much?
$19,900.
What does it show it's worth now?
I can't find it.
Whatever.
Because I'm not good at using this app. It won't let me type in the address. Okay. It just wants me to look at an area.
Here's a trick. Forget the address. Just go to the Google search bar. Type in that address. Yeah, I'm going to read
it out. I've done that.
Okay.
And I got the house.
Okay.
I got a picture of it up.
Here's what typically happens. You will see, don't go to the Zillow app. You will see that there's typically a Zillow listing. There's also a Realtor.com listing. Sometimes there's a truly a listing, but click on either, and I would go to the Realtor.com one first.
Yeah.
Because typically it'll say off market, but it will give a rough valuation of that home. And so there's some good data on Realtor.com. Okay. The same thing will come up with Zillow, and I like Realtor.com better than I like Zillow. Interestingly enough, you know, it's just two sets of data that are out in the public record. But you could probably find that. And guys and gals listening, it is so funny watching Russ trying to type on his phone right now.
I've got it up. I just can't find anything that says realtor listing.
You can't find realtor.com? Come on.
No, it's not
okay,
there.
Okay, so we'll
go to break.
We'll go to break. And you know what? This is going to be fun. We're going to go to break, and I'm going to pester the snots out of Russ while he's trying to type on his phone.
It's not
going to
work for
you. And we'll be right back after this break. This is Money Talk AM 560 KBLU.
Management. They manage money for their clients differently from many other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
I don't care what you say. That sound Russ just played was his brain trying to figure this out, and it's still going and going.
Stop it.
Okay, so I show, they say the estimate, and again, it's an estimate, $331,000.
Sounds about right. And it was $19,900 in 1970.
$19,000 to sit and live.
Well, almost 20 grand. Let's,
okay, they so were, 20 grand. Now, let's
They
let's
bought
say,
that brand new. They had it built.
Okay. If you got, just let's say, a I don't know. Let's pick a number. Let's say a 7.2% return on your investment. Just let's say, so that means your money doubles every 10 years, right?
Yeah.
20 to 40 is 1. 40 to 80. 80 is 2. 80 to 160 is 3. 160 to 320 is 4. That's 40 years.
Yeah.
And you're telling me they bought it 5 years ago. So they didn't get a 7.2% return on their investment. But if I halved that to 3.6, now you would take 80 years. So they averaged, whoever owned that home, that's a rough 5% return on your investment.
Just for the having to buy a house. Yeah.
And that's what I'm trying to get this young couple that we started with, is it's not a get-rich-quick scheme.
No.
It is a get-wealthy, slow lifestyle. That's it. So if you bought that one home and you lived in it and it's free and clear and you know you've got $300,000 later, if you are elderly and retired and living on a fixed income, could you use that home as a reverse mortgage to help offset your lifestyle for the rest of your life?
Or you could borrow money against it and make payments, you know.
All of those things are there. But had they not bought that home in 1970, somebody else would have earned that amount of money. Now, maybe it's changed hands 3, 4, 5 times,
sure,
and
has.
It's little bits here and a little bit there.
Mm-hmm.
But we all have those things. If you go back 120 years ago in the United States, what was the average price of a homestead of that?
How long ago?
120 years.
Oh, so my goodness.
Back to 1900.
I would say a couple grand.
About $1,200.
Yeah.
And you and I know that $1,200 was more land, much smaller home, because now we have the McMansions.
Yeah.
You know, it's a much broader
it's
piece
what we would
of
call
dirt.
A tiny house today.
Oh, you're so cute.
Yeah, we have a tiny house.
But that $1,200 was expensive to that person.
Oh, well, yeah.
You know, if you say, hey, 70 years ago, the average home price is about $16,000, you know. Okay, that's still expensive for that person back in their income ability earnings.
Yeah.
You and I look at everything right now and you go, geez, that's really expensive. I'm sorry, Russ. Tell me, what's the price tag of the most expensive diesel four-door pickup truck that's come into your shop for service?
Oh, $100,000 is just kind of a standard diesel four-door pickup that's new, a newer one.
Okay, $100,000, yeah. And you told me your first home was how much?
$45,000.
So two pickups. That's, you know, again, we can rationalize, and that's what's so funny. We rationalize going and buying that supercar, going and buy that diesel truck.
In 1900 to 1909, a surgeon made $1,600 a year. So, yeah, a property worth $1,200 was a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big chunk of change.
And that was nearly his annual salary.
Yeah, a lawyer made $1,200. A journalist made less than $1,000, and bartenders made $425 a year.
A year. And if I said, hey, Russ, you're going to earn $425
a year
to do the radio show?
Yeah, well, that's pretty much what I mean.
So, you know, you look at these things and you say, okay, wait a minute. Let's just make some good tactical decisions. Please, everybody, start talking about the financial ramifications of home ownership to the younger group, the assistants that work for you, the servers and you know, frontline staff, because a lot of these people are getting bad information, or I should say a skewed vantage point of what that information is by somebody who may be operating out of fear.
Yeah.
That young couple, when you start doing all this math, they had no idea that their mom, who struggled to get into the home, was sitting on about $250,000 worth of equity. Now, based on mom's reaction, she didn't either. And now, you know, again, it's not like you're going to go cash it out and spend it at the casino. It's not like you're going to go cash it out and blow it on a cruise.
We hope not.
Well,
please don't.
But I'm just saying that that home is still your home.
Yeah.
So, yes, you can do HELOCs and HELOANs and cash out refinances and do things to whether pay off other debt or fix up the house, you can do those things. But just her living there is what amassed that savings account. And it's really difficult. Like if I said, hey, Russ, your grandfather bought that home for $19,000 in 1970. That
was my dad.
Or your dad, sorry. How difficult would it be to save, just by putting money in a savings account, an extra $300,000?
Nobody does. You can't do it. It's impossible. Because you're going to start getting that savings account up to 100 grand. You're going to say, you know, we really could buy that car now.
That or we four-door could, diesel pickup?
Yeah, or we could go on a vacation to Disney World for a day. Mm-hmm. You know.
Isn't it interesting that's
what happens.
There's the rationale, is you say, wait a minute, I have this now, I can do X, as opposed to...
Oh, you start saying that. You know, I had that problem with 401ks when I was corporate, and 401ks came out, my job was to go out and sell. I mean, we had the biggest amount of people buying into 401ks. We also had the biggest amount getting out. Once it got up to any kind of money at all, they'd think, like, wow, I could spend that on this. And they wanted to take it out. Now, back then, it was, like, difficult. You couldn't. Mm-hmm. Easily. I mean, there were rules to block it.
What did you spend yours on?
I didn't take it out. Not then. I didn't.
So you look around and you say, okay, there's a huge number of people who need some help. Yeah. And the stories that I tell are not to demean or belittle anyone. It's just to say, hey, these are normal. Most people come in, and I've told you this study before. There's a university that did a study that says who has more stress and more tension in their body and more of the bad hormones running around. Is it an astronaut ready to blast off on the space shuttle going to space?
No.
Or is it a buyer coming in, seeing a mortgage bank loan officer being completely financially naked and judged?
The astronaut's trained. The other guy's afraid of you. So.
Isn't that interesting that the person who's trained to strap themselves to the old Acme rocket that the coyote always was sitting on.
They're busy. They don't have time to think about danger.
But the person who's thinking about coming in and, hey, let's get a home and let's build a house type thing, it's tension and nerves and scared. Where does that come from?
The unknown and the you know, trying to figure it out, not wanting to look stupid, trying to look out like I don't want to be taken advantage of, you know, all those things.
It's the word trust.
Yeah.
It really comes down to, you know, when you had a family physician back in your grandfather's days, I mean, you just mentioned $1,200 was what a physician could make, or $1,600.
A year.
So, but that physician typically traveled to see you, and you trusted the family physician, or they would certainly get out of bed in their nightgown and see you at 1 a.m. when there's a problem.
Yeah. Well, there's no emergency rooms.
That trust. And unfortunately, in our industry, you don't have as much trust because people say things that they do take advantage of people. Like when I say, hey, what's the interest rate today?
Oh gosh, seven and a quarter. I don't know.
See, that's technically garbage because the rates operate in a range. Yeah. And you and I talk about, well, this is roughly where rates are. But if I said right now on a 30-year fixed with mediocre credit, you could have an 8.5 all the way down to probably 5.25. Okay. There's a range of rates that Wall Street is willing to buy or not buy. What goes along with it is the amount of cost that you pay to get there. So would you assume a 5% interest rate is much more costly than that 8% interest rate?
Oh, you mean you buy it down or something? Yeah,
so
you could do that.
You know you're going to pay a lot of money. I had a guy come in and he goes, hey, this other bank is going to give me 5.25. Cool. Did they really use the word give?
That's like saying the Ford company is going to give you a truck.
Yeah,
you're not, just sign the papers.
You're not giving an interest rate. No bank is giving an interest. I can't give you an interest rate. But when you look at the actual, now, all he had was a quick email. So not even a legal compliant thing because there's no loan estimate. So, hey, go back and get a loan estimate. I think that if they would give you, and I use the word, if they would give you the 5.25, I think that's a great rate. I would take two of them right now.
Yeah.
Go get a loan estimate. Well, he came back with the loan estimate. He's buying a $300,000 home. Great. I say that because you're going to need to know that. That 5.25 rate, how many discount points were associated with that?
Three.
Six.
No.
Six.
You know, no. Six.
Six. And now, legally, you can't get there unless you have a seller covering some of it because of what the ATRQM rules are. So the note was, we need to get the seller to pay 3% towards this. But 6 points on $300,000 is $18,000.
Yeah.
They didn't give you a 5.25. They sold you 5.25.
Right. And that would be a good deal if you're living there for the rest of your life. It'd be a great deal. But you don't.
But all of that, look, you could even convince me that there's some reasons to do that. There's some tax write-offs. Yeah, you're going to be there forever. I don't believe interest rates are ever coming down. I think we're going to go back to the 80s and see double-digit interest rates. If all of those things were true, then I think that would be a valid thing. But 98% of the people, in my estimation, are not going to be in the home more than 5 years.
Right.
That's a waste. It's stealing money from people. But that's going back to the word trust. The trust in this industry has kind of dissipated for all but the top people.
Did that customer understand that?
After we sat down and I got very energetic about that conversation. So, you know, it's just an interesting thing because you said the right one. I don't care whether you're Ford, Chevy, Dodge, Hyundai, you know, Toyota, whomever. When you see things like, we're going to give you $2,500 cash back.
Right.
They ain't giving you $2,500 cash back. The car was priced that much more. You got to finance it, and they rebated some of what you're going to finance over time, correct?
Yep.
So they didn't give you anything for free. You paid for it. You just didn't realize
now,
you paid for it.
If they give you a check for $2,500.
And you don't have to buy the car.
Well, but the car price doesn't change. The car price, you can't get a better deal up front than it really is. Something special,
mm-hmm.
That's generally not going to happen.
Generally not. So, you know, again, I love these conversations, love helping people see the light bulb turn on. And did you ever watch the movie Despicable Me?
Yes, love okay. it.
Remember when Gru, for everybody who has kids and grandkids, you probably remember when Gru goes, light bulb, and he understands what's going on?
Sure.
That's the feeling that I want everybody to leave my office with is, okay, wait a minute. We understand how to build some wealth long term. We understand how to be safe. We understand how to budget and make good tactical decisions. That's it. And so for this weekend, what I would also tell everybody is, you know, we're only about 2 weeks away from the 4th of July. This is the summer traveling season. It's vacations. We're going to do lots of barbecues and swimming and hot dogs and hamburgers. Be safe. Pay attention to your budget. And also remember, while we're moving towards the 4th of July and next week, we're going to have El Presidente, Frank Saldana with the Caballeros de Yuma on, and also Colonel Rob Philby. We're going to talk about the 4th of July flag raising, which what day would that be?
4th of July.
Jeez. You know what? Independence Day. You throw a softball up and even Russ Clark
can
hit him.
Yeah, I can grab it at that time.
But there's a couple of new things that have been added to that. And I know it's middle of the week. It's a Thursday. But you will want to listen to what the Cabs are going to do during that flag-raising ceremony. It's a short one. You know, if you've got kids, come out to the Armed Forces Park.
It's early enough in the morning. The heat's not
really
come out.
It's not too bad.
You know, it's good. It's a right way to start that day.
Yeah. And so, you know, we're going to do that next week on the show. But the light bulbs are, while you're out charging money, just make sure you're either getting some points, some cash back, some benefit for it. And also support and celebrate the men and women who give us the ability to have these freedoms. We're going to celebrate 4th of July, and we can support our patriotism. We can support our families. We can take a day off because there's men and women who actually laid down their lives and paid the ultimate price for you and I to have this. And again, we're going to play the How the Star-Spangled Banner came to pass because we do that every year. You know, the amount of time, money, energy, and emotions that were put into this great country, I think we all need to celebrate the men and women who are not going to be with their families for 4th of July. So from everybody at Guild Mortgage, everybody here at KBLU Yuma 560 AM, thank you so very much for your service. We support you. Have a great and safe weekend, everyone. Bye for now.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBOU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated,
this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.